Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown great mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, lie about you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be excited, because great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a cover. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Matthew 5.
It's very exciting as an intro to our summer series, Entering the Kingdom. I'm going to invite you to get a hold of your Bibles at this time and a bulletin. Matter of fact, we're thrilled because as we just take a look at in preparation for the message, just a brief little excitement. We have in the house some guests here from the ministry Run to Rescue. And Bartley and Shannon Forsythe, you may have seen their table set up outside. You can see my wonderful wristband. I'm telling you, rise from the ashes. Run to Rescue, helping and setting people free from human trafficking. You'll be hearing about that. This is our Mission Sunday as well, and we're excited to present a ministry that your church continues to sponsor and support. I wanted to also just add to, if our church council who is here, if you would stand up. We had them here at the first service. Would you stand and come forward, please? That would be very important. We have a brief announcement we want to just highlight as they come. We want you to see their faces because with that, you can ask them questions. But in front of the foyer, you'll see a bulletin board that says Kids Cove Remodel. It's right next door. We have affirmed and approved having the complete amount of money, we're excited about that, to do an extensive remodel of the children's ministry building. And so that's going to be starting shortly. We still have to talk to our contractor and a few other of our building suppliers, but we're thrilled to announce this to you. Please take a look at the bulletin board, see what's going on. Not only is this going to be something that's much more elaborate than our sanctuary remodel, but I think you'll see it's going to be much more serviceable, that building next door. We're extremely excited, and I'm so happy and proud of our church council that have helped walk and talk us through this, and therefore we want you to be aware of that. We're thrilled. Thrilled, absolutely. So with that, thank you. Let's take a moment and just ask the Lord. We don't want to just kind of step into anything. We always want to just say, Lord, we are taking our best shot at saying we believe this is what the direction would be for our church and the stewardship of the sacred tithe. Therefore, Lord, we are asking even now, before we just announce things and say this is what we're going to do, Lord, we're asking, lead on, O King Eternal. Let the details and the outcome be all to your glory. And thank you, Lord, not just for us personally, though we contribute to the lives and ministry of other ministries outside this church. Lord, thank you for continuing now. We get to invest in the generations, maybe a decade removed now, may it be to the winning and souls of young people, young generation, and that they in turn will take over for us one day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Thank you, everyone, and thank you, dear council. We're sure grateful for that. Well, let's take a look at our bulletin, and if you don't happen to have a Bible, please go ahead and just raise your hand, and you'll see some of our ushers will be happy to pass a church Bible to you. If you don't have a Bible at home, please take one with you. Man, we're happy to see those Bibles fly off the shelves. Some of you are confessing to me you have 6 and 8 of them at home. You might want to bring them back and kind of share the wealth. You know what I mean? And just so we don't want to say, hey, property of Hope Chapel at the next yard sale. How's that? Just pass them around. It'll be great. Well, once again, you can see not only our theme for the year is God's Kingdom Seen in 2017, we've launched into our summer series. This is really our 6th message in this summer series that's entitled Entering the Kingdom. Jesus' message on the Sermon on the Mount, we're looking at the Beatitudes. And today's message is titled The Pure in Heart. The Pure in Heart is found in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to encourage you to find Matthew chapter 5. It's the first book in the New Testament. And Lord, thank you as we open our Bibles, open our hearts. And we just love it how you not only reveal our hearts, but by the Holy Spirit, help us to not only obey, but to experience your kingdom in a unique and wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a look here. Verse 1, we're going to go all the way to verse 8. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And our verse today, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have you ever noticed how hearts never change in some people? It's something to just kind of take a look at. I mean, we change as people. We change our clothes. We change sometimes where we live. We change jobs. We might even change marriages. We can even change churches. But oftentimes people will be in their 20s and 30s and their hearts never change. They never change. You could almost say, man, that's the way you've been since the day you were in this house. You're always that way. They never change. I've done a lot of counseling and I have never come across a bad marriage, never. God made marriage. Marriage is beautiful. But I have found that people get married with hearts that need some alterations, but they never want to change. So they go into this marriage, man, and they complicate things. The marriage is good. The heart never changes. And God's word says over 800 times from childhood on up to adulthood, get ready, get ready. I'm going to make some changes on your heart. This is where I'm going. So when we look at the word heart, blessed are the pure in heart, the heart is not, we're not talking about emotions. We know we have emotions. God has emotions, but it's not talking emotions. Matter of fact, your emotions do not think. They do not make the decisions for you. The heart, God's word is addressing, is your mind. But your emotions come along, and it's your mind that will make the decisions, and your emotions follow right along. So if we were going to take a look and say, okay, where do our emotions then come from? I mean, if we're going to take a look at scriptures, we do have one verse in the King James Version says how that we have bowels of mercy. In other words, let's just say your intestines or your guts. That's where your emotions come from. I guess that's kind of close to the heart, huh? Just got a gut feeling here. But it's important for us to recognize that the Word of God is addressing our heart. Proverbs 23:7, and I'm so glad you're going to be kind of writing things down. I know we're not in life groups. They'll be starting up in a few weeks. I'm excited for you. So many of you are sending me those emails and say, hey, we can't wait to get back into life groups. Keep those fan mails coming. We love that love and draw kind of stuff. But Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it's important for us to recognize that. Let's take a look at some things, because when we address this element of pure in heart, Let's see number one in our notes. Remember, God sees everything. Now, you and I might think nobody knows anything that we're thinking or feeling. God does, and that's important. Matter of fact, there's three phrases that are repeated in this Sermon on the Mount. I'm still in Matthew, but we're moving on to chapter 6 because he starts to address what the kingdom's like. Look at verse 4. The references are on your notes. Can you find that with me? There's a phrase that's repeated, and it's in verse 4. He says that your charitable deeds may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret. That's the phrase. Can you see that? Your Father who sees in secret. Let's go on to verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who, there it is, sees in secret, will reward you openly. Man, God is able to see the secret stuff. Let's look at one other one since we're there. Verse 18, so that when you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is kept secret. That's important for us to recognize that. I love it how even though God knows me and I fail quite often, if it's not an action, then it's something of my mind or imagination. Like, Lord, catch me before I go off on some action. Because nobody just randomly kind of blows it and sins. It's always kind of conceived somewhere. But I love it how the Lord just loves us. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. He just knows us, but he loves us. So it's important for us often to say, Lord, you know what's going on in my life. I like it in Psalm 139, verse 7, where King David say, man, I am naked and open to the eyes of him in whom I must give account. Everything's open. You might want to even write down Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, which says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him in whom we must give account. So I know for fact God knows things. He sees things. It's important, our first point, remember God sees everything. So with that, it's important, point two, remember God reviews our motives. When we do participate in, what's the motive behind that? And that's where our reference is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When we look at the motives behind, that's so important. I am confident that my value in my life is not in what I produce. It is more with the motive behind why I do what I do. Seeing it in the scriptures. Hey, parents, grandparents, isn't it true when your children come home with a handmade project from school or from children's chapel and they present something to you, and I mean, it's a messy piece of artwork, but they do say, Mom, this is for you. I made this for you. It's like, man, it could be the most diabolically deranged piece of work, but it's beautiful. I love that when our young people in our church make me stuff like that. I still have certain things. I just want to get a shout out in case you want to encourage your children to make me things. I keep that stuff, and still even some of my children who are now having children of their own. Isn't it something? It's more about the motive behind than the product made. That's the way it is with God. Man, when we look at things and say, wow, what is our life producing? It's more the motive behind it, the heart with which I have put into it, that really matters to God. So it doesn't matter, isn't it true? It doesn't matter if you're making a skyscraper or a greeting card. It is the heart behind it that you make. Do I get a witness? Amen. Because that's the way the Lord, he reviews our motives. And there's a few things here in the Sermon on the Mount that he actually says so. Let's take a look. Letter A, the word giving. I'm back there, chapter 2, but look at verse 2, or excuse me, chapter 6. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. Now, that's an interesting, that word reward is really a term that really means commerce term for a sales transaction. You're going to give something away, your transaction given, here's your reward. You got approval of men. That's what he's saying. They've got their transaction in the sale. What'd you give? I gave a charitable deed. What'd you get back? Man, people think I'm hot stuff. All right. That's what you're going for. That's what's happening. So we see here, it's also in praying. Letter B. Look at verse 5. And when you pray, and by the way, not if. Jesus kind of expected his disciples. He didn't say, you know, if you get around to praying, by the way. It's more like when you pray, when you give. Verse 5 again. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, who they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So there's that transaction again. I mean, some people could really settle for wanting people to know what they're doing. But God says, I'm going to give you a reward too. So it's really kind of what you're wanting to receive when you do what you do. The aspect being, remember, God reviews our motives. And how about fasting? Letter C. We can see there in verse 16, he goes on again, Jesus does. Moreover, when you fast, not if, by the way, I don't know if you've got a kind of a standard routine of fasting. It's very powerful as Christians. I'm telling you, that's where the breakthroughs come. And you may want to check our materials on fasting and how to do it properly. But verse 16, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. And surely, I say to you, they have their reward. And as you know, they would wear sackcloth and ashes, and everybody would say, ooh, yeah, ooh, man, that dude is fasting. You could see there, he looks bad. But God, Jesus is actually saying later on, he says, man, go take a shower. Wash your hair and comb it. And that's really what he's just kind of clean up a little bit. Don't get into the appearance there. So that's going to be important. It's all about who we want to please. So honest evaluation is important, the motives behind that. King David even prayed that again in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Remember when he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me. Just check. I mean, that's before you go into any kind of dialogue, even covenant agreement with people, and shake hands on, Lord, search my heart. What's my motive? What's going on? Show me what's going on and lead me in the way that brings life. So we want our heart to be in sync with God's heart. Number three, realign our priorities. That's going to be important when we take a look at this, because when we talk priorities, I know there all of you are here because, man, you just want to do the right thing, and you will never fail if you just want to do the right thing. I tell that to everybody because God makes us a winner. But the motive is the starting block for God to help us. So check your priorities. Exodus 20, verse 3 is listed there. That is the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. In verse 3, the first commandment is, have no other God before me. That is the first commandment out of the top 10. So let's just say God, He wants to be number one. God is number one. And you can imagine, he doesn't want to be number two. It'd be kind of like telling my wife, honey, you are number one in my life. And I just want to let you know, number two is that cute little gal in our neighborhood. But honey, you're still number one. I must bless you, you're number one. No, that's not. I had to get in the doghouse for that. So you can see here, the first and foremost is going to be, man, God is number, whatever he wants, my life is totally his. So a God is anything or anybody we give first place to in our lives, or it kind of creeps in. It can creep in. It can be a possession, could be a career, could be a person, a spouse, child, or somewhere they speak louder than God would want. There are many times as people in leading ministries or leading businesses, you will have a lot of people with opinions. Let's do it this way. I think we always used to do it this way some other place that I was at, but what if you've got word from the Lord? That's important. I really feel God's leading us in this regard. That was great. Let's celebrate those days. It's a new day. It's a new day. So as we look here, it's important, once again, realigning our priorities. Well, how do we know? I'm going to just give you three little simple awareness tests. Here we go. We're going to just knock them out and mark letter A. Look at the activities. In Matthew 6, verse 19, let's look at Matthew 6, 19. What activities are we in? Verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in earth where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." Remember, there's been a few times God says, "Paul, keep laying your treasures in heaven." Many times God says that to us, even now, a little side note, because sometimes we invest so heavily in something that when it goes away, our hearts are so crushed and decimated. I think he knows that when things rust, break, or are stolen, he doesn't want to see our hearts hurt. Isn't that true? And just keep that fine balance. Keep your focus in heaven, because things do shift. Things do alter. But where do we invest our time or our talents or our money? That's important. Just what is the priority? I've sat down with one person. I said, "Let's just take a look at your online bank account. Let's just see where you're investing your money. That will tell us something. How about your calendar? Do you put a calendar together? If you were to kind of, we all have the same amount of times, what kind of hours are you giving into what or to whom? That's important. That'll show you where the priorities are. Where are you going? And the letter B, how about look at your anxieties? When we look at your anxieties, we're talking about worry, because Jesus addresses that. You can tell a lot about somebody by what they worry about. Man, it's on their mind all the time. It just preoccupies them. And look at the anxieties. And we list here in Matthew 6:25, we see, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" He's given an example here, but he's actually saying, don't worry. So if a person worries, they do what God says not to, would it be a sin? So when we take a look at that, I've often said that worry is minor doses of atheism, because you don't feel God's going to come to your rescue, and you just worry and stress over that. Man, let's just settle the issue. God's going to come in and help, or he's not. And then you got reasons to worry if he's not. So when you look here, I like Jesus. I've been interested in looking over this chapter 6, because Jesus gives us five top worries of humanity. Five top worries of humanity. Are you ready? Because they're all in the letter F, the five top F words. You want to write these down. And if you've got a paper Bible, write these words down, because this will help you when you go to give a lesson somewhere else. Five top worries of humanity. Let me list them for you quickly. First one, verse 24. Put it right in there, the words finances. Finances. Verse 25, the word is food. Verse 27, the word is fitness. Verse 28, the word is fashion. Are we coming close to anybody? Verse 34, big one, the word is future. So let me repeat that for you. Top five worries of humanity, and Jesus nails it, man. He goes for it. First one, finances, found in verse 24. Second one, food, in verse 25. Third, fitness, in verse 27. Fashion is in verse 28, and then future in verse 34. When we take a look at it, it's important, because we've got a new reality as Christians. Before you know it, we're starting to recognize, man, we're just passing through this planet. It's sure great how the Lord takes care of us. And we all look like we've not skipped any meals. I love that about the Lord. Isn't it great? Man, he's so good. Can't wait for lunch. So when we look here, if we are earthly minded, we're not going to be good to even earth. Why do I say that? You've heard that term, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, but it's actually the opposite. If a person is so earthly minded, they are so stuck and self-centered, they can't be generous. They don't have time to give their time. They won't think of others. Listen to them talk. It's always about them. And they're just so earthly minded. They're not good for heaven or earth. But if you are heavenly minded, Jesus says, man, start sticking some treasures in heaven. If you are heavenly minded, you are not only good for heaven, you're good for earth. You start to be generous. I mean, those are the people that show up when it's days to do some volunteering, or, man, they're there. They are helpful. They're compassionate. They're engaged. Man. So it's great to take a look at that and sharing your life that way. So more we're consumed with things, going to find we got to be careful. Whatever our number one goal is, be careful. That can be your God. That's why Jesus says, you're blessed, man, if the pure in heart, for you're going to see God operate in your life and see God operate in your family. I do recognize something about my own nature and in just dealing with people like me, is that when we get into addictions of any kind, it never satisfies. Therefore, when we are seeing now our junior hires and even younger get introduced to pornography, which is tragic, that stimulus as they get older doesn't quite satisfy, and they have to go into more gross and vile things. It's the same with all forms of addiction that feed the flesh, from drugs, alcohol. It's just a little bit more than we had yesterday because it doesn't quite crest the euphoria I had. Beware, beware. It's a plot of darkness, and you can't say I can cut it off anytime. Power of God, you can, and I love the power of the cross and the resurrection. That's why I enjoy so much sharing Jesus. Because especially when the desperado comes and they've tried everything, I mean everything, they're in all kinds of special interest groups, and they still shrink back. It's time we give God a complete realm of authority. Lord, be everything to us, everything for us. Let's take a look at letter C. Look at the ambitions. Matthew chapter 6, it comes here in verse 31. Look at Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. Now, that's ambition. Can you see that there? And the Gentiles mean everybody that's not a Jew at that time. So he's literally saying, man, the world's going after all this stuff. They're ambitious for these things. So instead, we want to be careful. God's saying, be ambitious for him, for his kingdom. As we proceed with that, verse 32, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look at the kickback, and all these things shall be added to you. And I like that. All the rest will follow. When we take a look here this morning, Proverbs 4:23 says, make sure, keep your heart with all diligence. I'm excited that our discipleship class will be starting up soon. It's one of those verses we memorize. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Keep your heart. We're talking about pure in heart, but flows the issues of life. I remember we were doing some closet cleaning, and I came across my old Royal Ranger uniform. I was a commander. I mean, and it looks good. I'm decorated with badges and buttons, and it was pretty dusty. But anyway, and I don't think I can fit into it. I remember taking the teenagers backpacking, Fisherman's Camp. It's near Grass Valley and Green Valley Lake, excuse me, right there by Big Bear. And as we hiked in there, there's a beautiful stream, and a ranger came running up saying, "Don't let the students drink from the water. The bacteria level is just too high." And so he said, "Let me go upstream, find out what it is." So he forged upstream, came back about an hour later, and he said that there's a dead deer carcass in the stream. He said he pulled it out, took care of the remains. He says, "Just give it about 2 hours to flow clean. You should be all right." It's amazing when you test certain things. When the Bible says, man, protect your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. Bible says, watch over your heart. There can be an obvious carcass in there that you know it's there. I've had God say, "Paul, it's there. And you're not letting anybody see it. I know it's there. And man, the bacteria level is getting up in things that you're doing." And those have been some tough weeks when those days happen. Just check the bacteria level. To what extent? You look around and say, man, nothing's going right with my marriage. It's bad. Dealing with the kid, oh man, that's bad too. Go to work, bad. Streams are just terrible. Bacteria, what's going on? You know it. God knows it. Some carcass of resentment, something of unforgiveness, drugs, promiscuity, or sex. Man, it's there. God says, "I know. I see everything. Watch your heart. Out of it flows the issues of life." Has it brought you anything of life to your family or life to what you're doing? Man, I love how the Lord just washes us clean by the cross. It's a beautiful thing, and it can happen just like that. But he'll come visit us again because he knows everything. Hey, just don't go there. Don't go there. Don't entertain that. Protect those around you. And God does it by the word pure. It's Greek word, it's called katharos. That's how God does that. It's a term that a farmer uses when he's winnowing the wheat, just getting rid of the chaff coming down to the pure nourishment. Katharos, pure. We're going for pure stuff here. It's like a general saying, man, got a great looking army here, but I'm going to weed out the weak ones, the unwilling ones to fight, and I'm going to go for a crack A team here. Same with one who works with just silver, using the dross from the cauldron. He's just pulling the impurities off, katharos. We're getting rid of the garbage here so that pure can come. Purity can happen. So when we take a look, number four, finally, realizing the reward. I love that, and it's found in our verse. Matthew 5:8, blessed, happy, letter A, happiness really comes when dealing with just obeying God and how he would have us to follow him. I'm telling you, it's a great thing. You just sleep so much better when you know God's addressing things in your life. You've all had that happen. You just thank God when he just brings that up. And the second, letter B, that we start to see God. God starts moving in our lives, and we not only see God here on this planet, but, man, we'll see him in heaven. So if you've ever had dirty reading glasses, you just realize, man, we need to get brighter lights here, honey, in the house. What's going on? Can't quite see the object you're looking at till you get clear visual. It's the same with God. That purity from the heart. You really can see God move. It is so cool. I tell young people all the time, God can be known. His word promises that. He's waiting. He doesn't change. He's the same. And so therefore, something may have changed in my heart. Lord, examine my heart. I want to just say it's a beautiful thing how the cross cleanses us. I remember this prayer in Psalm 51:10. King David said this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Isn't that great? Psalm 51:10. You know he prayed that after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he murdered Bathsheba's husband, and then he tried to hide it. So, man, if the dude David could be forgiven, I'm feeling encouraged, aren't you? And you who are watching by live stream, I just want to address you. God makes house calls. And he does not ask for money. It's already paid in full, Jesus on the cross. So for you who are there, and you know God's speaking to you, sometimes even being home and isolated, having too much time on our hands and being bored, we start to invent and create things. That's a creative gift, to be creative and an imagination. Let's use it for good things. We're going to invite you to close your Bibles and let's sing this song. We'll be back to lead you in prayer. May God start to speak to you. Let's let him address our heart. Let's stand to our feet. Would you join me?
The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned in glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who shines for all to see. Your name is victory, and our praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory, and our praise will rise to Christ our King.
Father, we just thank you right now, and as we stand or are seated in your presence, you see everything. It really does bring us a sense of comfort, because we can forget how much you love us, but we look to the cross and we realize how you have even written in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. But Lord, we present our lives to you. If you have our heart, Lord, you have everything. So now I lead many of us who feel it's time to give our hearts to Jesus. Would you say this short but effective prayer to God? Repeating the words after me, it goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. You are God Almighty, who died on the cross and rose to life for me. And right now, dear Lord, I surrender my life to you. I am sorry for the way I've disappointed you. You know me and you love me. And I invite you now to be a part of my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you now to reveal yourself to me and to allow me to enter heaven because of what Jesus has done. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we just thank the Lord together.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally And we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.